G'day and welcome to this rapid fire edition of the Raw Rugby Podcast. I'm Christy Doran. Joining me to run through all the week 17 news is Nick Vasiliev. Nick, good to have you back on the show, returning for Tony Harper.
Yes, indeed. I'm back off the bench and now I'm back into the starting side once again. And you couldn't have asked for a better week to bring me back. It is Tars week. It is the best week of the year if you are a Brumbies fan. So plenty to dive into.
Yeah, we'll come to that shortly. But that promises to me to be a bit of a banana kind of peel game for the Brumbies because the Tars, they're one from their opening six and it's just kind of feels like they're due. But as I say, we'll come to that. There's a fair bit of other stuff happening across the world as well. There's Rugby Sevens, the Hong Kong Sevens, the long-awaited debut of Michael Hooper, Super W, that's all happening as well. And then the European Championship Cup as well up in the north and as well as over in South Africa too. So much to look forward to in rugby, but we're going to turn our attention immediately to Super Rugby. And there's four games this weekend. There's Australian representation in three of those matches with four sides having the bye. And that comes as a result of four matches over the next 3 weeks. So it'll be a little bit different than Super Rugby Pacific just at the moment. But first game, graveyard of an Australian rugby, really, generally speaking, the Western Force against the Blues. And there's some interesting kind of selections on both sides.
Yes, there is. It's been 10 years since the Force actually last tasted victory over the Blues, which is a very daunting prospect, particularly if you're heading off to Eden Park, which Simon Cronin is. Interestingly, though, Cronin, he's sticking with a bit more consistency, only making two changes to the side. Sam Carter, I thought for the play against the Drua last week was really good, and he's going to be injected into the starting side to partner with Tom Franklin, which I think is a very good move to kind of add a Wallaby and another experienced head into that starting pack. And then, of course, the other one is he might have been injured, but he can still run. The one and only Harry Potter, he is definitely out. He's out with an ankle injury. And so Max Bury will come in with a junior Wallaby in line to start off the bench. But interestingly to me, Christy, and I kind of want to hear your opinion on this, the Blues, they've made a few changes, but still looks like a pretty solid squad. Which either suggests I think it's probably more the fact that they probably want to see they want to put on a big score this weekend.
Oh, it's one of those games that if you're a New Zealand side and you're hoping to get a home final, you look at this and you go, how do we get a bonus point? It's a good looking team. It's a change in the halves pairing. There's no Finlay Christie and there's no Stephen Perifetta. There's no Zahn Sullivan, but that forward pack's pretty intimidating when you've got a couple of All Blacks and Tavahu and offer Tuonafasi up front with Ricky Telly, the hooker. But that back row is that's going to scare a lot of oppositions when you've got Akira Ioane, Hoskins Tutu, Dalton Papali'i. Yeah, there's some serious firepower. And I think the Blues will just try, and they've been doing it all year under Vern Cotter, but I imagine that they're just going to try to go through the middle of the Force, and that's where they've struggled up front with all the injuries that they've had. So I think they're one of the few teams. Cotter's kind of come back from he had a short time with the Flying Fijians, but a long time up in the north in both France and New Zealand as the former Scotland coach. And I think that just that desire to go through sides is really coming to fruition with that Blues pack.
Absolutely. It is very clear they want to physical out-muscle the Force. They probably would have taken a lot from watching that Hurricanes game at the start of the season where the Hurricanes really just beat the living daylights out of the Force up front. And the moment they won the physical contest, the game felt inevitable. I don't necessarily know if it'll be a bonus point because, I mean, the last time the Force, were travelling around New Zealand, it seemed quite beneficial. They played some pretty decent rugby. Even though they didn't win any games, they did run a lot of Kiwi sides quite close. So I anticipate more of a closer contest than some might expect. Do I see them winning, though? No, I don't, unfortunately. It's too strong. That pack in the Blues is too strong.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think They're very long odds, the Western Force. Yeah, I could see the Blues winning by perhaps 2 tries, 14 points or so. But, yeah, I think when you there's no Mark Talia on the outside as well, so a couple of other guys out for the Blues. But, yeah, I think they'll be far too strong for the Western Force. A really intriguing matchup, though, the second one on Friday night with the Melbourne Rebels hosting the Fijian Drua, 6th up against 7th. And when you're looking to consolidate yourself in the top 8, you can either side can leapfrog the Queensland Reds into 5th spot. So it's a big game for both sides.
It is, and I think this is probably going to be the match which will split the tipping, the tippers in all of us, because I think we've done a lot of, there's been a lot of synergy with all of us going for particular games, but I reckon this one is going to split us all down the middle, because Drua have looked fantastic at home, and I think in terms of if they let sides fall into their particular style of play, they very much can take control of a game, surprise people, pull them away from their particular style of game. But the last time they won on the road was round one, 2023, against Moana Pacifica. So the history is really staring them in the face. And if they genuinely want to win this comp, they've got to start winning away games. And the key battle here, unsurprisingly, is again in the front row, in that set piece pack. And if the Drua want to play the style they want to play, they're going to have to out-muscle the Rebels pack, which, as we know, is an incredibly tough assignment. Even though the Rebels have lost Captain Rob Liotta to a calf injury, so he will be out of the match. Additionally, Lachie Anderson is also out, as well as Jake Strawn. So there will be a couple of players moving in. Nick Joost will move in. Bialahu will come into the side as well. But also there'll be some additional firepower in the back line returning in the form of Matt Proctor, who'll be back on the bench, as well as Carter Gordon's brother, Mason, who will also be there as well. So really the game comes down to the forward. I think if you win the forward contest, you win the game, essentially. And do you think the Drua have it in them to do that? Do they have it in them to challenge this Rebels forward pack?
Oh, I absolutely think they do. Yeah, I think this is going to be – I've tipped the Rebels, but – oh, with no confidence whatsoever. I think defense is going to probably win it for both sides, whoever it does, whoever takes their shots at goals, whoever keeps it tight. This is going to be a tight one. I think the Rebels, the loss of no Josh Kemeny, he's been out for a few weeks now, that, you know, no Rob Liotta, as you said. They're going to struggle to be able to contain the Drua at times. That's the big thing, is what do the Rebels do around the breakdown? Do they go harder at it, or do they just try to get line speed? But it's really difficult if you can't slow the breakdown down. So look for Taniela Tupou. He's the guy that needs to have a really big second half. It's a big opportunity for Carter Gordon to be able to show that he can control a match. But yeah, that Fijian team, it's very similar to what it was against the Western Force. It's a good front row and obviously so much pace and a muscle out wide for the Drua. So, yeah, it'll be a good game. It's actually one to really get excited about. I think it'll be one for it could be a high-scoring kind of game, and the conditions are supposed to be pretty good in Melbourne too.
Absolutely. I think I'm with you tipping the Rebels because I feel like this game, while the Drua have a very particular style of play, just the strength of that set piece that the Rebels have, actively could very easily shut that sort of play down. So if the Rebels are able to contain them in all regards there, then we could see a situation similar to the game against Moana Pacifica, where the Rebels come home with a wet sail and a very strong scrum off the bench to kind of shut the Drua out of the game. So great. I think this will be the one that people will kind of be flipping the coin on. Well, we've got the Brumbies Tars as well, but I'm going Rebels as well.
Yeah. So all right, Saturday, just the two games. First one, 5:05 p.m. Australian Eastern. It will be standard by that point in time, I think, with the clocks changing this weekend. Never quite know. But the Chiefs, Moana Pacifica, I think it's pretty obvious who we think is going to win this one. But the return of Damien McKenzie is the real headliner.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not only that, it also signals a 50-game milestone for two players on the Chiefs side in terms of Etienne Natai Saturo and prop Ollie Norris. So congratulations to those two Chiefs. A little bit of a couple of changes. There will be some other movements around in the Chiefs side. But generally speaking, I mean, as you already mentioned, DMac is back. There's clear that the Chiefs are not taking Moana Pacifica lightly, and probably also are similarly looking for a big win, a big result. Tana Umanga has made several changes. There's going to be a debut for a Tongan international, Otumaka Marasia, who will be playing as well. Sakopi Kepu is also back in the side. William Havili will get the nod as well. So there's going to be I don't see this game going to Moana Pacifica, just in terms of the Chiefs' ability and execution at home. On top of that, it just seems, while Moana has improved considerably, there seem to be, you know, that lack of experience, and the cohesion is starting to catch up with them now at this point in the season.
Yeah, well, there's no Christian Laleafano. William Hillavilly, who I think is a really talented player, he's going to come into the number 10 jersey for Moana. But yeah, I tend to agree. Julian Sevilla, his experience will help in the midfield. But off the back of the Chiefs last week getting beaten by the Crusaders, you look at what's going to happen off the bench as well. You've got Boshier, Akoi, Muratama, Ioane, Leonard Brown. Like, that's a lot of firepower to bring off when you're already starting with guys like Sammy Soni, Tokiaho. So, yeah, I think it could get ugly, this one, for Moana Pacifica. But, look, there's a really exciting last game, and it's the Brumbies, the Waratahs. We touched upon it just a little bit earlier. The Brumbies have actually won 11 straight against the Waratahs. It's a daunting prospect for a Waratahs team that's won winless in their last four. They've only got one win from their opening six matches. It's a big one to go down the Hume Highway to Canberra to come away with the chocolate, isn't it?
It is. Oh, we might have to stop for a second because there's something on me. Hang on. Oh, what's this? Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do here? Oh, God. Something's grown on me. Something's grown on me, Christy. I'm going to need to... there's some sort of Brumby that's kind of emerged from my crest, and a whole jersey that's kind of appeared in front of me. I don't know what I'm going to do here. It is a strange time. How bizarre. I'm going to have to – it's Tar Week. Brumbies always get up for Tar Week. That is how we roll here. And as much as I sense that the Tars are due, I know that I'm supposed to be a professional, but this is the most important game of the week if you are a Brumbies fan. There is nothing that you want to get up more for than a match against the Waratahs. It's a huge shame to lose Lachie Lonergan, as we saw last week in that fantastic match against the Reds. But Billy Pollard coming in is a fantastic player to get promoted to the starting side. I think he's shown his depth and his strength very, very well, as well as Connell McNee, who returned onto the bench. It is a very tough place to win in Canberra, and that 11 games, I have counted every single one. I have loved every single one of them, and as much as I do think that the Waratahs are in desperate need of a good win, not this week. Not this week.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for them indeed. I like some of the changes the Brumbies have made. I think it's an unchanged back line, but Caden Neville's going to come off the bench this time with Nick Frost returning to the starting side. Tom Hooper's in an open side flanker with Jerome Brown not there this week. So Jack Debrasini, he's another important addition. First time we'll see him after a foot injury sustained in preseason. So the Brumbies are probably, I'll say I tipped them, by the way, against the Reds last week, and they got up 20-19 with Noel Lacio on fire. But the Tars team, there's so many things that stack up against them at the moment, not least the fact that they're struggling to get results. But if there's a game to get up for, the Waratahs might actually enjoy being totally written off. And, you know, Lachie Swinton, he'll play his 50th match. He's starting at blindside for Lanka. A few injuries. Angus Bell returns, which is a massive one after Jack Barrett was called into the team. And that's kind of been spoken about the lack of depth and the pathway issues the Waratahs have, where they're putting in a young guy like that. But, yeah, Charlie Gamble as well, another one in at open side flanker. Hugh Sinclair is going to move to the back of the scrum with Lange Gleeson out with concussion. And then the other key change, Lalakai Fekete comes into the midfield with Isaiah Parisi, his Wallabies teammate, dropping back. So I wouldn't completely look past the Waratahs this week, and it's just because every now and again you get the sense that a season could go one or two ways. If they lose this week, there's no hope for the Waratahs, I wouldn't think, going forward for the next couple of months. But they would see this as a chance to get back on track after a really disappointing month. And everyone always, as you say, circles in the diary, Waratahs and Brumbies. So I've tipped the Brumbies, mentality. But it could be 1-7 sort of thing, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It will be a close game, and you would be kidding yourself if you didn't see the depth that is still there in that Waratahs side. And I think probably I like the fact that if they get up for this match, if they're keen and hungry for this game, because, you know, there is a good rivalry, there's a good derby there, and sometimes you need a good injection like a derby to really kind of get your season back on track. I was quite impressed with Swinton last week. I thought even, you know, though the Waratahs' performance led a lot to be desired, he managed his discipline extremely well. He was very physical. He worked very hard. He went looking for a lot more work. And I'm very excited to see how he goes this weekend for his 50th. Fekete and Parisi, class, both Wallabies. You can't go past how dangerous they are. Especially with, you know, with Edmed and with Peach. It's a fantastic backline. It's one of the key wins for DC in this game. I mean, of course, I will tip the Brumbies because it's the match that I am keen as a bean for. It's the match I look forward to every single year without fail. But I completely agree. It'll be a coin toss. This will be similar to probably the Reds and the Brumbies last week as being the match that really stood out, the match of the round. I think this will be the match of the round, and I anticipate and hope that many fans get down to Canberra Stadium because it'll be a cracker. It'll be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, don't disagree. Coin toss might be perhaps a few too many tickets than the Waratahs perhaps, but it'll be a good game. Hey, three games in Super W this weekend as well. Probably won't go into as much depth about them, but the Rebels and the Reds on Friday night, the Brumbies and Fiji on Saturday, and that's followed by the Western Force and the Waratahs. What's caught your eye in that competition so far, Nick?
Well, I mean, the first one is the Western Force. The amount of investment that they've been putting into that squad has paid off in spades. The Force are currently sitting in second on the ladder in the penultimate season, and it'll be very much a clash of the top of the ladder, the middle of the ladder, and the bottom of the ladder. The Force have pulled a lot from the Black Ferns, from Japan. They have a lot of exciting talent as well coming through the local ranks. Keep an eye out for a certain Samantha Wood, who has played exceptionally all season. She is a Wallaroo in waiting, is an absolutely fantastic player. Up against the Waratahs, who are still to drop a game so far this season, filled with class, 14 Wallaroos, lots of exciting talent coming through the ranks. It'll be an absolute cracker of a match down at the library at UWA Sports Park on the weekend. I think it'll be interesting to see the Brumbies in the Drua match as well ahead of the other game in Canberra, because the both of those sides effectively, once they win, they've shored up a finals position. The Brumbies, of course, grabbed their first ever win over the Queensland Reds last week as part of a very special night for the Brumbies as they kind of clean swept the Reds in Brisbane, which is a very hard thing to do. Of course, you can never ride off Fijiana Drua. They make it to finals. They turn into a different beast entirely. But the growth of the Rebels this year has been very impressive. And I can sense them. They haven't actually won in the competition since 2020. It's been nearly 4 or 5 years. And they come up against a Queensland Reds side who are desperate. They are still to grab a win this season. And considering that is a squad that is filled with Wallaroo talent, they're definitely underperforming right now. They're not at the place that they should be. And it is the absolute last chance for them to make a push for a late finals grab. So each game, the competition, it feels very strange that we're already in the penultimate round. But there is a lot to like, a lot of really exciting talent coming through, and also a lot of really exciting talent from all around the world that is playing in this competition now. It's really growing.
Yeah, so 5-round competition, this is probably one of the things that Rugby Australia is going to have to look at about extending that comp and seeing if they can get to 8 matches of the regular season, but they've done really well with all the double headers. Yeah, you're right to highlight the Reds. It's a must-win game for them. I think it's also a really good test for the Western Force to see how they go in handling the Waratahs, who have just been outrageously good to start the competition. We touched upon it as well. The Hong Kong Sevens, there's three regular rounds of the competition of the World Series tournament to go. Both the Aussie men and women will be featuring prominently, but Michael Hooper makes his debut, and that's going to be an exciting one for John Manenti's side to get a bit of an idea as they get closer to the Paris Olympics around whether or not Hoops, the Wallabies' most capped captain of all time, will make and get a plane ticket to Paris this time round. I'll be fascinated to watch that. Really good viewing opportunities for the watching public back in Australia. The last thing I'll bring up, or a couple of two last things, in terms of news, we heard earlier in the week confirmation that Mike Cron's going to be the scrum coach. It's a really sound appointment. He follows the addition of Laurie Fisher in the appointment so far from Joe Schmidt. So that's a really smart, shrewd signing, a guy that's coached the All Blacks 218 test matches, which is a staggering amount. Not sure if there's anyone that would have been a part of more test matches than Mike Cron. But, Nick, what do you think around that appointment?
A lot of good rugby heads are being assembled in that coaching side. If you have Mike Cron and you have Laurie Fisher, two of the most experienced heads in the Southern Hemisphere, you are doing very well for yourself. You don't get the name Scrum Doctor for nothing. And I think I loved some of his comments. I think we mentioned it on the Raw earlier this week, talking about the value of selection and the processes around selection and the way that he just speaks about the managing the scrum and the selection of players was so fascinating. It's clear that he's a very, very detailed head. The question around is how many more. I know it's going to be a bit of a slimmer side compared a coaching staff compared to what Eddie Jones took to the World Cup last year. So I think, but what it looks like currently, Christy, is just a lot of experience, a lot of smart heads that command a lot of respect that are kind of being assembled around Joe Schmidt. And I get the sense that the playing group will really latch on to these coaches very well, very smart people, knowledgeable, who can take the clear raw talent that is there and really give it focus. There should be a lot to like about this appointment.
Yeah, so what you were alluding to there beforehand was Mike Cron said he thinks 80% of coaching is in selection, and it's pretty apparent that the selection wasn't right last year for the World Cup campaign under Eddie Jones. The last bit of news, there's still so much to play out in this story, and I'm not sure if Rugby Australia quite know where it's heading, and that's perhaps the concerning aspect is the Melbourne Rebels. We know their financial issues, voluntary administration earlier in the year, but a private equity-backed consortium's in the final stages to try to inject $20 to $30 million and a move away from Amy Park for the actual playing squad to the Western United, which is out in the western suburbs of Melbourne. So there's a fair bit more to play out here because Rugby Australia will be desperate for not to go to the courts because it will drag on. The uncertainty won't be good for both investor confidence, but also the playing stocks with various players as well as coaching staff not contracted beyond June 30 for a high performance perspective, but players beyond this year, and confidence and security is paramount for players. Look, on the surface, a really encouraging thing, but what it does do is continually cloud what's going to happen come 2025 and 2026. And Mark Robertson, the New Zealand Rugby CEO, is going to be coming over to Australia next week to have some crunch meetings with Phil Waugh. And certainly one of the things I'll be discussing is around the future of Super Rugby Pacific and what that might look like next year and beyond, with broadcast deals to be sewn up from 26 onwards. So a lot to keep an eye on. But that's an encouraging sign for Melbourne Rebels supporters and those that want to see a national footprint. But wow, there's still a lot more to play out. I'll talk more about that when we find out some more news and have Matt Tamilk returning in next week's pod. But Nick, hey, thanks for jumping on today as well. As always, good to get your thoughts.
Indeed. Thank you, my friend. And I'll tell you what, there are a few things more enjoyable than watching rugby on a Saturday, especially when it's Dart Week.
All right. Until then, see you next week. Cheers.